ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. We chant verses 59 to 63, chapter 2, page 136. Vishaya vinivartante,
niraharasya dehinaha,
rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishvani vartate, विषया विनिवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्जं रसोप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते यततो ह्यपि कौन्तेय पुरुषस्य विपश्चितः इन्द्रियाणि प्रमातीनि हरन्ति प्रसभं मनः यततो ह्यपि कौन्तेय पुरुषस्य विपश्चितः इन्द्रियाणि प्रमातीनि हरन्ति प्रसभं मनः तानि सर्वाणि संयम्य युक्त आसीत मत्परः वशे हि यस्येन्द्रियाणि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता तानि सर्वाणि संयम्य युक्त आसीत मत्परः वशे हि यस्येन्द्रियाणि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगात् संजायते कामः कामाक्रोधोद्विजायते ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगात् संजायते कामः कामाक्रोधोद्विजायते क्रोधाद् भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशाद् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति क्रोधाद् भवति सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशाद् बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति. No, fine. Just hot water. I think we'll bring it. So.
There's two copies. Would you like which one of the book Guruji was able to get? Yeah.
I think it is 680.
680. You said you wanted to wait.
What?
You wanted to wait. No, you didn't want to take this.
I'll wait. You take my number. No. I'll wait. I'll in fact should be Xeroxes. In case it doesn't come, we just Xerox it.
Yeah, it will come.
It has to come.
So we've done up to verse number 59 last week. So we'll do 60 onwards today. But then just a little bit of summary of 58 and 59 we'll see. When, like the tortoise drawing in its limbs on all sides, he withdraws his senses from sense objects, then his wisdom is established. Now here is talking about how a man of perfect wisdom, a steady wisdom, express himself in this world? How does the infinity express through the finite equipments? How does he speak? That's the question being answered here. So he's saying, he's giving the example of a tortoise which moves about, but upon sensing any danger, it quickly withdraws its limbs. So what he is trying to say here is, a perfect individual always has his wisdom established in the higher. He is rooted in the higher. So he says the mark of a perfect individual is his sense control, sense withdrawal. Now when he says sense withdrawal, it should not be understood as sense denial. This is what we discussed last week. Sense denial is forcefully not supplying your senses. That's what sense denial is. Sense denial, in fact, increases your desires. Your desires. You go on denying yourself, but mentally go on ruminating over the sense object. So you develop more and more desires, immaterial of whether you are indulging or denying. A person who indulges, his thoughts are also running towards the sense objects. A person who denies, his thoughts are also running towards the sense objects. What creates desires? What builds desires? Is your thought flow from you to the object that runs indiscriminately. So if you are contacting or denying, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, are your thoughts running towards the sense objects indiscriminately? Then you are going to be increasing the desires. So the sense control or sense withdrawal that he talks about is not sense denial. This is what we need to understand. He may contact the sense objects, but his contacts are underlined by awareness of the truth. And his senses are withdrawn, meaning, I explained to you, this is not the external senses. Like for example, you have external eyes called as gwalayas. If somebody's eyes are closed, they are not seeing anything, right? But their thoughts are running maybe towards the object. So you can't say his eyes are shut, therefore he is not contacting. He is practicing sense withdrawal. His mind is running. So truly speaking, the real senses are in your mind. So when he says sense withdrawal, means the mind has withdrawn towards the Atman. Mind doesn't have preoccupations of the world. Like I told you, our senses are like windows. It could be used for entry or exit, like doors. In our case, it is most of the time, we are running after the world through our senses. In the case of a self-developed sense, self-realized soul, a man of perfection, he is in front of the object. Object enters him, but he is not being kindled by that entry, and his thoughts are not running amok towards the sense objects helter-skelter. This is what he is trying to say here. So how does he express what is there? He sees, and with reference to the context, what is to be done? He does that and moves. In short, he doesn't run away from an object, nor does he crave for an object. He meets it when it falls on his senses, doesn't allow the senses to take control over his personality. This is called a sense control or sense withdrawal. So we said, when you contact, you should contact with awareness. Before contacting, there has to be awareness and discrimination. While contacting, there must be discrimination and awareness, and after you contacted, your awareness and discrimination should continue. Then you are having perfect control over senses. Many of us apparently have control before we contact. But the moment we go in front of the object, slowly our control is taken away by the sense objects. So this is what he is saying here. This intellect is always aware of the truth, is always alert. It never goes off to sleep. It's always alert. So he doesn't allow the mind's domination. His mind is always under the control of his intellect. And in 59 he says, even if you physically withdraw from the world, for example, you are withdrawing from meeting your friends or whatever you do every Tuesday when we meet here, you are withdrawing from the rest of the world, right? So over a period of time, even your friends will stop calling you for anything on Tuesday mornings. Don't know, however, don't disturb her. Tuesday morning she's not going to come. Even your husbands, your wives, everybody will stop. Because they know this person goes on this day. Right? So sense objects turn away from an abstinent man, but not the relish.
But not the
relish, the rasa, the precipitate. When you have physically moved away, doesn't really mean that you have actually conquered it. It is just that out of sight, out of mind. Somebody talks about it, you will see the thoughts running, coming again. Even when you gain information, when you come to this class, all that we are gaining is information. Now, just because you have studied Gita, you have got some more information. Temporarily you may feel you have risen above. But it is there within you, you will not know. Suddenly it will come. Like for example, on earth, there are seeds. But it is there inside the earth. Earth may look brown. But when it rains, a few drops, automatically the seeds will start sprouting. So he says, you should withdraw your senses, meaning not just physical withdrawal, but your mind should also turn towards the self and you should get established in it. Otherwise, you must remember the rasa lingers, therefore any day you can get back. And in fact, a lot of people who physically withdraw gets back to it 10 times more powerfully. So a lot of people take these resolutions, no smoking from this new year. So he will force himself for a few months. I really think, oh, fantastic, yeah, really fantastic. But what has happened is, after some time, again he'll get back to smoking, but now with much more vigor. And over a period of time, everybody will tell him, see, I told you, you cannot give up. So then he will start believing that he is somebody who cannot give up. And once he starts believing that he cannot give up, he can never give up. Do what happens. So till you are established in the higher, you cannot afford to take a chance with the lower. So you must continue your tapasya. You must continue your intake of knowledge and digesting the knowledge and developing the intellect, developing the discrimination awareness. Otherwise, like in a tuberculosis patient, the medicine has been given for a period of time, 9 months or whatever. They are supposed to finish the course. In between they may feel very good. 8 months they did it, 9th month they didn't take, let us say. the relapse is even more dangerous. The rasa lingers. So you cannot afford to withdraw just physically. So that is why I said, I gave a formula sort of a thing, where you withdraw and supplement it with knowledge, underline it with capacity, and do it consistently. So I said W plus K, underlined by C, circled by another C. But in other words, capacity is very important. If you exceed your capacity, either in withdrawing or in the intake of knowledge, it is extremes. It's not sadhana. In sadhana, there should be pain, but it should not be extreme. See, when you grow, even when you go to the gym instructor will tell you, no pain, no gain. But supposing you push yourself to some other extreme, you can never go to the gym again. So you cannot withdraw beyond your capacity, slightly more than your capacity. Right? A little bit of pain should be there. Similarly, intake of knowledge also you should not exceed beyond your limits. You know, a lot of us feel, for example, dosage. A doctor gives you medicine. He is given you for 10 days, 3 times a day, 30 tablets. I might forget in between and I don't have time for all this, and you take all the 30 tablets. You understand? There is a dosage, there is a capacity that needs to be taken, and then consistently you got to do till you are established. Now the question might come, how do I know that I am established? Do you have that question? You don't have that question?
Yes.
How do you know that you are established? Now I will ask you another question to answer this question. When you wake up from your sleep, do you require to ask anybody and check if you have woken up or not? Do you, when you get up in the morning, do you go to your husband and say, do you think I've got up? He'll say, it's confirmed. All these days I had the doubt, now it's confirmed, and he'll call somebody else. You understand? So when you wake up, you don't need any confirmation. You know that you've woken up. So when you have established yourself, there will be absolutely no doubt. If there is still doubt, you still err on the safe side. Still err on the safe side. Safe side means what? W plus K, underlined by C, circled by C.
Can I know what
this
stands for? W
is withdrawal.
Okay.
K is knowledge. Underlined by C is capacity. Circled by another C, which is consistency.
Consistency. In other words, underlined by
C, capacity.
Capacity.
So okay, put it like this: withdrawal plus knowledge, underlined by capacity, circled by consistency. And I would say, circle the whole thing with awareness. Meaning, do things consciously. Don't do things mechanically. All the time, whatever you do. It doesn't matter how many things you do, but it matters with awareness. You are supposed
total,
to.
Some total of this is established.
You will get established if you do this. When, forget self-realization. You will get established in the higher compared to the lower. A person who gets established in the higher, the lower leaves him. By running away from the lower, you can't escape from the lower. This is the point. Vedanta, a lot of people think will make you run away. But here Vedanta is very clearly telling you, you can't run away. The more you run away, the more it will catch you up. So, Krishna, for example, he was with the gopis in the Vrindavan, When he moved from Vrindavan, he never looked back. So in other words, Astita Prajna is like a mirror, clean mirror. What is there in front of him, he just reflects it. But he doesn't allow that to make any impression inside.
But Krishna didn't look back when he left Vrindavan. So he left all gopis heart broken. So what about...
Gopis heart broken because they were attached maybe. Not because he was attached.
Yeah, they were attached. But then, just a question which occurs in human, normal human terms, what about the sensitivity to all the gopis that he left heart broken? Or, you know,
No, see, you are right, sensitivity has to be there. And, but the sensitivity should not be coming in the way of your progress, of your growth. And you can't say Krishna did not have sensitivity. You understand? See, gratitude should be there. But gratitude cannot bind you. Duty should be there. Duty should not bind you.
No, like in this, I have a question which is like very too late today. Because I'm not keeping well. But I was very keen on coming for this class. But I had that if I get this sugar, tremor, whatever it's called. If that happens in class, everyone will get worked up. The class will, you know, get disturbed. You can't have one of your, you know, people, you know, suffering and not get affected. So I was really debating it. Should I go? Should I not go? I was keen to come to learn, but I was also concerned, you know, the other should not have to suffer if it happens. I mean, if it happens. Not that it's happening all the time. So, I mean, I decided... Okay, if it happened, I'll go and sit in another room and like got myself planted, I mean, I've got it and done all the precautions. But it was still okay in my mind, shall I go, shall I not go? So, you know, I mean, this is exactly which is just there just now. There's so many things, you know, which you want to do, but because you feel you're going to inconvenience somebody, you're not doing it. Because if it doesn't happen, then you feel stupid over, you know, and miss my class. And I don't want it to happen, but this is a genuine problem which I'm going through just now. I mean, this I came, so obviously, but...
See, whenever you are in doubt, what do you do? Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
See, simple. Whenever you are in doubt, you can't decide. So, delay the decision a little bit. But if it is too much of an importance that you have to decide, then seek some higher guidance. Who you think is objective and a well-wisher. Supposing that is also not available. Either or decision you take, whatever comes to your intellect at that time, don't ever think that there has to be a perfect decision. What is important is going through that decision consciously. So what will happen as you are going through, if you find it wrong, you will quickly change it. Just because you decided doesn't mean you have to somehow stick to it or you have to go on changing it. You understand? See, there is a confusion. For example, should I go left or right? When you are in confusion, many times you are not able to decide. So I said you take a delay the decision, pause for a while, so that you know the mind calms a little bit. Then probably little clarity comes. Or you'll seek a higher guidance. Right? If that is also not available, but you have to take the decision. What is the mind doing to you? It is telling you, oh, you will go wrong. What if you go wrong? Remember this in life. What is important is, life is important. But the mind will come and tell you, you should be perfect in everything. Don't be scared of committing a mistake. Try your best not to commit a mistake. But when you do anything, do it consciously. So the moment you realize it is a mistake, you will not repeat it. There is no such thing as somebody who doesn't commit mistakes. If you are scared of committing a mistake, you cannot progress in life. If you repeat the mistakes, then also you cannot progress. So I am saying, in the third scenario, if there is no help outside, you can't delay it also, take a decision, left or right. But when you are going on the left, say for example, you decided to go left, move consciously. As you are moving consciously, you will see, yes, maybe I made a mistake, or maybe I am right, this is the right side. And the moment you think, oh, this is a mistake I made, quickly change to the other side.
You don't get attached to that.
Absolutely.
To that decision.
Yes. Just because it's my decision, somehow I have to die with it. It is important to be principle centered and not principle bound. It is important that you are there. See, you have decided to go through Mount of Rath every Thursday, every Friday, whatever it is. Okay? You are a childhood friend, you are meeting after 20 years. And you are saying, I am in Manavrat, I will not talk. And she is leaving that evening. In other words, you are being dictated terms by the principal. Are you with me? You become predictive. You are not choosing. It's already been decided, and that is what is taking you. In other words, when you took to a principle, it was thought about and you took the principle. But having taken the principle, now the mind has got attached to it. So you are following the principle with attachment. You have lost the choice. You are not there at that point in time. So therefore we say, you should be principle centered. So even when you take the decision, fine. Intellect can be wrong. Who said it cannot be right? I mean, who said it has to be right all the time? Some of the decisions that you take from the higher standpoint may be very wrong. But somebody else who are at a very low level may say, fantastic, took the right decision. So, if you're all the time waiting for validation from somebody else, somebody else, somebody else, you will never grow. You should live like a flower, not like a plastic flower. The real flower has challenge every minute. Hard wind can uproot it. As somebody may come in front of it and say, what a beautiful flower, and pluck it off. Every second it is subjected to challenge. But it is living its life. A plastic flower, no challenge, nothing. Lives forever, exists forever. That's not life. That is just existing. Life is vibrant and dynamic, not static. So don't go on in doubts. Take a call. Move ahead. Be courageous to commit mistakes. You will learn quickly. You will become strong. Otherwise, you know, oh, you can't decide, you don't know how to decide, better be careful, you may do wrong things, you will understand there is consequence. And be ready for facing the consequence. Yes, I made a mistake, I said this, which I should not have said. Consequence is there, I'll face it. But I'm not going to repeat it. Because I have did it, I've done it consciously.
So I have a question, is that, let's say, one is thrown into a situation where with a little bit of study and very little is observed, testing challenge comes. Say one knows with that consciousness that you're dealing with certain people full of ego, arrogance. That's obvious, I mean it's not a judgmental And one is being given some responsibilities. So I'm saying, trying to fulfill that to the best of my ability, not to fulfill any ego, but just to fulfill those responsibilities. given a responsibility, you want to do your best. But then you're being put down by other members, other people, because of their ego, because of their wanting to show their importance, in the most ridiculous manner. And then that situation is larger than that. So at that moment, try as I did to be calm. I was calm outwardly, but inside it hurt. There was anger. But how can anyone be so crass? So that what do you call it? Judgment, or you know, but how can people live like this? It was all there in my mind. Those feelings were all there. The next day, I got my strength. But that day, while I was in the middle of the situation, it didn't happen. The next day, I got my strength because it had become out of the situation, looking at it objectively. But then still there's a judgment. Oh my God, how low down, how crass. Judging the person only, and then even other people who are, it's like, I don't know, they say coterie or whatever. Is more, you know, just maybe it's out of jealousy or out of, you know, wanting to just show a person down, knowing that whatever. So, anyway, so it's not just, so what I'm trying to say is that at that moment it's not easy to, you know, to cope with, to be so positive, to not be negative about those other people.
Absolutely.
And even afterwards, okay, I'm out of it, I must save my mind. So, okay, that takes a day or so, I save my mind. But the judgment is still there. My God, how crass, how petty. People need to sit up, those specific 3-4 people.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing is, we need to understand this. You must have your self-esteem. Okay.
Yeah, really one more thing. The idea actually, what you said, the idea is to bring down one's self-esteem.
Their idea. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There is something called as low self-esteem people, high self-esteem people. Low self-esteem fellow will try to escalate his esteem by putting the other fellow down. That is low.
So that's insecure.
Of course, insecure. Of course. But this high self-esteem fellow, he will not compare himself with anybody else. He will go on escalating himself. And he is happy if the others are also escalating themselves. He is not going to put them down and escalate himself.
To feel up. He doesn't need to.
Exactly. So what is happening is, we need to understand how our belief system works. Each one of us in our subconscious, we have belief system. From childhood days, they tell you, supposing you drew a picture and then you showed it to your brother, sister, mother, whoever. They say, what is this? Such an ugly picture I've never seen. You can't paint, I'm telling you. You can't. Don't do this. So you, over a period of time, start believing that you cannot paint. Now, once you started believing you cannot paint, then in some situations you have to paint and you paint it, and somebody comes and says, what a nonsensic painting is this. See, I knew it. He's confirming it. I knew that I'm useless in painting, and that person has just confirmed it. He's just validated my belief. Or if you say, oh, what a fantastic painting, then also what you will do is, the belief system will say, "Arey, I can't paint. Maybe some fluke happened, some strokes I did, it has come up well. I can't be painting all the time like this." So what you will do is, you will correct your self-esteem to that level, like thermostat. Somebody puts you down so much, supposing you believe you are 50% okay, somebody only judges you at 25, then also you correct to 50. If somebody praises you to 75, then also you correct to 50. You will always continue like that. So as you think, so you your world is. So as per your belief, you will see the world, you will experience the world. So what happens is, you have to check your belief system also. Okay, many times that is the case. We need to find out what my belief systems are. And if my belief system is here, 75, and these people are trying to put you down to feel better, if you had high self-esteem, then you will also not be worried about their validation. You will function independently, not get agitated by what they say. So what is happening is, there is no self-assessment and self-reliance. If you do that, then in these situations, they can do what they want. You will say, that is poor fellows, they have a low self-esteem. That is what they are supposed to do with their life. I have got nothing to do with it. I will carry on doing what is the right thing to be done in the context.
But Guruji, it's very difficult to do that when you are in that situation. And you know, it's personalized at you. When something directly, something to you or to get your self-esteem low, it's very difficult. I mean, ideally, yes, that's what one should be able to do. But it's difficult, I think,
you know, even with time, when you try to erase that, like every time, like I think all of us do go through it so often in our own spheres, when you go through it, fine, you try to get over saying that, okay, there's something good happening, there's some reason why this person is doing this to me, but that thought stays, you know.
You do feel
and
bad.
Then whenever something happens, all of them replay.
Why is that staying? You think about it. That's what I'm coming to. You should have said something which you didn't say.
Yes.
Okay, you took the nonsense. You see,
because inside you don't even have to say it. Somebody says it's yellow, you should say that, oh hello, it's yellow.
See,
it's red, it's not red. Don't put
that point of time.
What you need to understand is, if your belief system is already there, that one should not say anything there. One cannot say anything there, I can't help you. Think about it. What is making you believe? You are saying such behavior is also not appreciated, but they are doing it. You are also saying the same. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't always say something.
This is what my point is. Either, understand this, either you have a clear assessment about you and the other person, right? Either the other person is behaving like this because he has a very low self-esteem, or he is so insecure or lonely or whatever it might be. Many reasons are there. Right? Therefore, they behaved like that. Okay. Now, if you had a tinge of ego or a selfishness or a low self-esteem, these are the reasons why you also behave the way you behave. Because you also have a belief, I cannot talk, raise my voice against elders. But it is also true that elders should not behave this way. Please understand what I am saying. If supposing it's your eldest sister who is 15 years older than you, and you are brought up in a system, belief system, where you are not supposed to raise your voice. But isn't it true that the elderly person is the one who should understand that the younger person is not yet mature, but I am mature and behave? But they did not behave that way. But you still continue behaving. So what is happening is, you have a certain belief system. Unquestioned belief system. Please understand. So therefore what I am saying is, what has happened is, you wanted to say something, but your belief system comes and says, no, you can't say. So you did not say. But at the same time, you were not comfortable accepting their behavior. So you are going through frustrations. After some time, like they say, time heals, because your mind got diverted into something else, or you forgot about it, or you know, somebody else came and said, you know, they put that person down in front of you, both of you talk, yeah, he's like that, he's mad, she's mad, something they say, so you get okay for a while. But basically what is happening is, you felt like saying something, and you thought that's the right thing to say, but you did not say. That is frustrating you.
But Guruji, how does one like fight one's belief system? Okay, because it's been ingrained in you since your childhood that you cannot answer back to an elder. If there's something happening, you're in your own house, good, bad, you know, you just take it and you make it best and you adjust.
Yes, that is what Vedanta says.
If you try to go against it, you are so hassled within you that you don't know what you need to deal with, what is upsetting you, or the fact that you're disturbing your belief system and becoming bad.
In other words, one minute.
Like if you don't accept the situation,